Supper, let's turn to number 383, and we'll sing verse 2, 3, and then 1. May we keep in memory all that Thou hast said. May we truly worship as we eat the bread.
We have 26 present this morning. Today is March 1st, 2020 for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's open, mark our song books at number 702. 702 will be the song of meditation after our lesson this morning. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 474. 474. Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the doors that bind me, it will ring, ring.
Of its glory, of its power.
Sing to sing me, to of heaven, let me fondly drink of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to sing me, to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to sing me, to of heaven, see the song of all. Sing to me,
first invite all of you to come be a part of our regular Bible study classes on Sunday morning. This morning we passed by in Psalms 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God removes our transgressions from us when he forgives us. And that's a good study and we're often cited, and that's where it comes from in Psalms 103 and verse 12. It's good studies along the way, and we enjoy the conversations that are held, and they're in good ways, and we look forward to you being a part of that with us as well. And young people always have a class along the way, and we're glad that you've come to be a part of us as well. The study is from the book of Isaiah today, beginning in the book of Isaiah, but it certainly is far from being extended in that way. When we talk about Isaiah, we're talking about a prophet of God that was especially good for the whole situation that went along with Jesus coming. In Isaiah chapter 53, you'll note that he comments regarding the Savior and how that he was to be put away. And the question is raised, who would declare his generation, seeing that he is cut off from the land of the living? And thus Jesus was put to death, and of course there were those who came along, guided by the Spirit of God. They began to preach and teach his word on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And so the message of Christ Jesus was a message that was carried out. But there are other things about the book of Isaiah that I would like to refer to in this study today, and that's the idea of Isaiah in a reference to how to overcome sin. In Isaiah chapter 1 and down at verse 11, you'll notice that Isaiah says to the people at the beginning of his letter to them, he says, had it not been for the mercies of God, we would have been like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. Now you know about Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament of the Bible. You know how that wickedness was there. Back in Genesis 18, it talks about them in that regard and how they were taken down completely. Everyone there lost his life. Lot was there, of course, in Italian time, and Abraham was concerned about Lot losing his life in the process of that. And he begged the Lord that if he could find as few as 10 righteous people in Sodom, that he would not destroy it. And the Lord said, go. And he went, and he couldn't find but 4. It would be Lot and his wife and his 2 daughters, and they would be the only ones that would be faithful to the Lord in that day. And they were told to leave and not look back. But then, of course, you remember the statement made that Lot's wife turned and looked back and turned to a pillar of salt, made a monument by God for one who disobeyed his way directly as she did that. So the idea here is compared back to that day and time, to the idea of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how that in verse 10 it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of the Lord, you of Gomorrah, you people of Gomorrah. The idea is that these people of Zion were going to be overcome by others. And as a result, they would be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah did they not have the mercy of the Lord to come upon them. The book of Isaiah is filled with some wonderful things. In chapter 2, the word of the Lord of Isaiah came. He says, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall come and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the house or the mountain of the Lord's house, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law of the Lord, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And notice that in this regard of Isaiah chapter 2, it matches up with what we read in Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament of the Bible, that the message of salvation was given and spoken to the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 by Simon Peter and the others of the apostles. And as a result, they were taught the word of the Lord in that place. And on that day, about 3,000 souls gladly received his word and were baptized. And the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. So the Lord's church was beginning. Not a surprise to us, because here in Isaiah chapter 2, he talks about the house of the Lord. And that house of the Lord is identified by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It is the church of the Lord when it talks about the house of the Lord being established above the hills, exalted above the hills, and all nations would flow unto it. Indeed, that ought to have been, and it was somewhat to the people, a question mark, because all nations were not flowing unto the Lord. All nations were not doing his will. But there would come a time when all nations would be invited to be a part of the house of God. And that must have brought a question mark to their minds. How did the Gentile world, how do they come to be a part of this household of God? But it would come about, of course. And in Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." To the Romans, to those people at Rome, Gentiles, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Notice in this regard, he talks about how that Jews and Gentiles would hear that message of the Lord. And in Romans 1:16, he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks." On the day of Pentecost was the first, but then it also went beyond that. It went to the Gentile world as well. And so that message came, and they became a part of the house of God, the church of the Lord, there that Isaiah is predicting would come. More than this, in Joshua, in the book of Joel, chapter 2, reference is made to the coming of this day as well. And on this day, they would speak in languages that they had never studied. They would know the message and proclaim that message so that people who heard that message could call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. As a result of that, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we read where that he quoted Joel the prophet, saying that Joel prophesied this of this day and this time, and the people heard them speak in their tongues the wonderful works of God. Notice that the languages that they spoke were languages that were not known to the people who came from the region that they came from. Are these men not from the region that they don't speak these languages? Yet how do we understand them speaking our tongues the wonderful works of God? They understood the words and the mannerisms. Later on in the Corinthian letter, we'll read where the people who spoke in languages were really taking advantage of others, and they were not speaking words that were clearly understood. And Paul says to them that they should do that and should always have an interpreter present in case they are people speaking in languages that they do not have in that congregation, that they'll be able to interpret it to them in their language and them understand what God's will is. And so the message came there clearly from Isaiah's time that the mountain of the Lord's house would be established. The church was established on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. It was established by way of the message that came. And the message that came, Joel says, would be a message that people would call upon the Lord and be delivered. How did they call upon the Lord? They called upon the Lord in repenting and being baptized. In Acts 2 at 37 and 38, they heard this message, they responded to it, and in repentance and baptism, they were added by the Lord to His church, and He added day by day those that were being saved to the church. Isaiah chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 tells you the whole of that story of the beginning of the church of our Lord. You're looking for Gentiles to be taught the word of the Lord in Acts chapter 2. And you have to wait until Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius is there, and he's a man who's praying and a man who is a good man, a good neighbor to anybody that would be today's world. He would be there, and he would be speaking and to the Lord about it. And what would happen would be that the Lord would call upon him to send over to Joppa for one named Simon Peter, who will come to you and tell you what you should do. This man wanted to hear the message of the Lord. And when Simon Peter and the other brethren came with him arrived, he knelt down before Simon Peter and said, "We're here, commanded, hear all things commanded thee of the Lord." And Simon Peter bid him to arise, "Wake up, get up, don't not worship me." You know, there are times in the Bible where people have been so caught up with their happiness about joy that they begin to worship the man who was bringing them that joy. This is one of those occasions here in Acts chapter 10. In the book of Revelation, two times John is so caught up in the revelation that's been given by the angel of the Lord that he bows to the angel and worships that angel. And the angel both times said, "Do this not, do this not." And one time he explained in detail, he said, "I am like you. I am a fellow servant of the Lord. Do not do this and worship me. I'm serving the Lord when I teach you these things and tell you these things to write down in the revelation. And I'm telling you the Lord's will, and I'm not to be worshipped because of it. The Lord is to be worshipped." So today, when we get caught up in something and we worship by a song that's sung and worship by a speaker that is there and that sort of circumstance, we're not doing the right thing. We want to worship God by virtue of the teaching that's being done. It's the message of the Lord that we have been delivered. And as a result, we can be people who are pleasing to God's sight. There are those along the way that make more impression with us as we go along through life, and we remember them, we talk about them. And when this morning the news came about Sister Grant over at Pontotoc passing away and her service tomorrow afternoon, couldn't help but think about all the ways of work that we did there in Ruval. And how we enjoyed the people there at Ruval so much through the years. We worked there 10 years of time in Ruval, Mississippi, back in the late 60s and early 70s of time. And she was one of the members there, and her mother was even nicer and better than she was. She was a wonderful old soul. And how important it is for us individually to study God's Word and be the kind of people that we ought to be, I think comes from an illustration I can give you of their life. Her mother, Sister Williams, got sick and was in bed and not able to raise her head. She could not raise her head. She said, "Brother Robert, I'd love to raise up here and hug your neck, but," she said, "I can't raise my head off the pillow." She couldn't. But her daughter, Sister Nell Grant, who passed away yesterday, she was about 90 years of age herself. She was caring for Mom in such a way that everything was brought to her, everything was there, and she was getting weaker in that bed all the time. Did not know it. But Renee herself got sick, and she could not care for Mom. And they began to ask around where would be a good place, and they found out that Care Inn down at Indianola on down 49 Highway was wonderful. And that people enjoyed it, and people were there. It was a clean place, and it was good food, and good therapies, and good programs were done, and it was a wonderful place to live if you had to do that. And now they had to do that because Nell couldn't take care of her mom. And so that took place. They went down there and delivered her there, and put her to her bedside and everything. A month and a half went by before Nell got better. She finally got better. And she could walk about and drive herself, and she drove herself down to Indianola. She walks in, she sees this lady sitting in a wheelchair there at the door, greeting people as they come in, which was Sister Williams' habit by way of life. She was that kind of person. She said hello to her, and the lady said, "Hello, Nell," and she walked by her. She walked by 10 steps past her before she realized that was Mama there. She turned around, she said, "Mama, what in the world are you doing up here?" She said, "Well, I'm up here greeting folks at the door." And she said, "Yes, but at home you couldn't raise your head off the pillow." So with that, she gets the wheelchair and she pushes Mama up to the nurse's station. Happens to be that the head charge nurse was there that day. And the charge nurse responsible for one by one patients that are there. And she said, "What did y'all do to my Mama?" And she said, "Well, I don't know what you mean." She said, "Well, at home, she couldn't lift her head off the pillow." And she said, "Well, you know, when they first come in, a resident first comes into this unit," said, "we put them through a number of evaluations as to what their problem physically is. And we found out that Ms. Williams only needed a little exercise. So we began to lift her neck and lift her arms and lift her hands for her and lift her feet for her. And it wasn't long before she's able to lift her feet and say, 'Look at here.' She could lift her foot in the bed. She could lift her hands up, and she could now sit down in a wheelchair and roll her own wheelchair. She rolled her wheelchair to the front door this morning. That's why she was there." Mama would say, "Let's go to eat at the lunch counter, the lunch room." And she turned a wheelchair and pushed it to roll there. And she said, "Nell, if you want to eat lunch with us, please come on. It'll be a good lunch." And she said, "I want to be there." And she rolled that wheelchair herself there. And I thought many a time, and Miss Nell said it too, how many times would it be that we do things for people to the extent that they never get to doing it again for themselves? A little exercise makes a world of difference. And thus it is in regard to God's will and God's way. When we find ourselves looking at Isaiah 2 and Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, we read about the beginning of the house of God, the church of the Lord, and how people were added to it day by day. Those that were being saved were added to the Lord's church. And so the opportunity for you today to think about this in your relationship to the Lord is extended to you. Isaiah was a wonderful prophet, quoted and cited many times in the New Testament of our Bible in reference to his messianic prophecies. And when he preached about Jesus Christ and his coming, he preached the truth in regard to the Lord Jesus coming. Wonderful it is to read Isaiah and to see about him and to see that he was one who helped people by way of their lives. But I would say that he would help us no better than our own reading of his word and then putting it into practice. Thank you for being with us today. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, will you not come as people did on the day of Pentecost and obey this gospel of Jesus Christ as we stand together? Will you come as we sing?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey. Fellowship sweet,
and keep you. And as we go through this day, remember our service tonight. It's good to be with you today. God bless you.
Turn to number 142. 142.